Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
15, therefore I also, Paul's talking, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, this is Paul's prayer, and he's going to translate what he's praying for us. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. Lord, open my eyes. Open the eyes of my heart. Help me to see. We're not talking with our physical eyes, because our physical eyes see certain things, but what really has the blinders is our heart. That's where the heart, that's where the blinders are. So, Lord, open my eyes, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. So he's going to say specific things. We're going to mention each specific thing. The eyes of your understanding, be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of. And if you do circle your Bibles, for those of you who have paper Bibles, notice how many times it says him, his. Notice it's his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay, we're going to play a little game. Everybody like playing games this morning? Okay, first picture, what do you see? How many see a young lady? How many see an old man, an old lady? Okay. Some see old. Next picture. Which line is longer? The first. No, they're both the same. Next picture. Which line is longer? The same, because you know you're gonna know I'm gonna trick you. But one does look longer, doesn't it? It looks longer, but actually, they're the same. The reason I gave those this little game is because God wants us to see him. He wants us to understand him. He wants us to perceive him. And I think the most deceived person in the world is myself. I'm the person that's deceived. And Paul has just been instructing us. What have we been learning about in Ephesians so far? Nothing, right? Everything, the blessing. So who are we in Christ? Who are you in Jesus this morning? What are you? You are saved. You are loved. Forgiven. Accepted. Child of God, found. You have all spiritual blessings. He knew you before the foundation of the world. You are who you are in Christ. And so he's been, and remember the context of Ephesians, right? They're coming out of this great city with the temple worship and the Greek philosophy and the pride and the education and all that, and they've been saved. Most of the early church is slaves. And so Paul's first instruction was, you're accepted, you're beloved, you're wanted, you're adopted, you're a child of God, you're redeemed, you're saved, you're forgiven. He's talking about our position in Jesus, who we are. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We're wanted by God. We've trusted in Christ, and in Him we've attained inheritance. So He's put all this emphasis on who we are. And you have to do this exercise. Every time the accuser accuses you, you're no good, you don't measure up, you're not good enough, you're sorry, and you made that mistake, and all those thoughts that you have to say, wait a minute, I'm accepted. Are we accepted because we're so beautiful and smart and righteous and holy? No. It's all because of Him. It doesn't change. Our acceptance doesn't change ever because it's because of Him. So we have that who we are in Christ. And so Paul in verse 15 says, therefore, because of all these things, he's transitioned. I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Notice those go together. That could be a whole message. But our faith in Jesus, love for the saints. And again, he's coming back to we're coming out of the world into the kingdom of God, into the church. We're coming out. And so, because we believe in Jesus, that's what we have in common. Bill was trying to get me to fight about the Yankees and the Red Sox this morning. And I'm like, well, you know what? I don't even know the names of the Red Sox. I'm not putting my faith in them. But we're brothers in Christ. I mean, he can love the Yankees. He can be wrong all he wants. That's fine. Praise the Lord. He's just as saved as I am. May not be as smart, but he's just as saved. So it's the love of Christ and the saints. And then he goes on in verse 16. Do not cease to give thanks for you. Make mention of you in my prayers. And I give thanks for you this morning. And I'm always bragging on the people of Faith Baptist Church and how accepting you are and how dedicated you are and how much love you have. Last week, somebody donated $1,000 for the kids to go to camp. And the desire to see the gospel go forward and demonstrate our love in a given church. And so I thank God for every believer this morning. And so Paul's saying that you've come to Christ. I thank God. He says, and I'm making mention of you in my prayers. And then in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what he's praying. So we have a specific prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So that's his prayer. He's praying for us to get it. He's praying for us to open up. It's almost like lifting up the blinds. Like you can be in the room, we have these thick blinds, it can be dark. And you open up the blinds. Go to the next picture, guys. You open up the blinds, you can see. There's light. And Paul's praying that the blinders, the self-deception of your heart, that you would open up. I want you to understand. I want you to have the wisdom to understand what I am telling you. The problem is, we're creatures of habit, and we are often self-deceived, but we don't admit it. And we don't like anybody telling us that. So I'm trying to be gentle this morning, not step on your toes. But I know myself. And we can become stubborn. And we can think we're right, and we think we get it. And we can become too comfortable in our thinking. This is the way it is. This is the way I am. I'm not changing. The gospel is about change. Our lives should always be changing. Should not be the same. We never fully understand it. We never fully grasp it. We never fully know him. And so he says, I want to give you the spirit of wisdom. He says again in verse 18, he's praying that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding, verse 19, greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. This is what Paul is praying for us. He's praying for us to understand his hope, his riches, his power, his authority. And so he's wanting us to understand. Notice what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 2. He says, my child, listen to what I say and treasure my commandments. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Now, I've made this mistake many times. I made it, I forget the exact thing, but this week I'm always, seems to be Santino Junkyard in back of the church, and I'm often repairing cars. And the other day I got a part in, and I took out the directions, and I glanced at the directions. Because in my mind, I knew what I needed to do. I was like, I got this. I'm master mechanic now. I got it. And so I started in and realized that something wasn't right. Went back and looked at the directions and realized that I had missed a major point because I had it. I had glanced at it. Solomon is saying, turn your ears to wisdom. Concentrate on understanding. Don't just assume you know it. And that's the danger of being in the church a long time. We assume we know the answer. We have all the phrases. And it happens a lot of times at Bible study when I'll ask questions. I can predict the answers because we all have them. We all have the answers. We have a cheat sheet. Christian answers. We don't know what they mean, but we know how to say them. And when he says to know him, it's knowing not just what to say with our lips, it's knowing what they mean. He says, Proverbs 2:3, cry out for insight. Ask for understanding. Cry out. Cry out for insight. Ask for understanding. Verse 4, search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasure. And so in the scriptures, in God's word, we have the wisdom of God, the power of God, the principles that you and I need to cry out for the answer, for the problem you're dealing with right now. God has the answer. The answer is there. And it's been there. The problem is, like I was, oh yeah, I got this. But I didn't get it. And we're like that with the scriptures. And so Paul is praying for us. He's praying for these believers that they would grasp with their heart. Now notice, he wants us to be enlightened with our heart because that's really where the blinders are. That's where our stubbornness is. That's where we're self-deceived. That's where we say, I got this, and we don't have it. Because our heart can be so deceptive that we have to come back to the word and say, wait a minute, what really does God want us to understand? And I think as we come to this passage, we have some great spiritual truths that are hard to comprehend through physical eyes. because we have such a emphasis today, especially with all the media and the video and everything is physical, that we miss the deep spiritual truths that God wants us to have. And actually this morning, that's what we need. Because technology may make our physical life easier, but it sure isn't helping our soul. Hasn't made our soul, it's probably made our soul worse today. Not helping. So what does he want us to know? Four points here this morning. He wants us to know his hope. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of... Now, notice what it says. His calling. Why is it his calling? Why is it my calling? What is the calling? What does he mean, his calling? Have you ever... I guess this applies to us, or maybe all of us in a way. Have you ever said, I never lived up to my calling? Or I wish I would have done this, but I didn't. Or I could have taken this other path. And it's all about what you did or didn't do. But this morning, if you believe in Jesus, it's his calling on your life. It's not your calling. He's called you. His calling is right on target. His calling has you exactly where you need to be. His calling is always on time and in the right direction. You've not lost or gained anything. He wants you to know the hope of his calling. And I guess we go right into all of Ephesians, especially chapter 2 and 3, but he's called you to be part of his body, the church. And God has put the church above all authorities and powers and principalities. And he's called you to be part of that. And so your calling is a higher calling. And then notice, secondly, his riches. Again, the same verse, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the what? Riches of the glory. Again, it's his inheritance in the saints. His investment. So what is he talking about here? We need to ask God to help us understand. Because he's talking about words like glory. He's talking words like inheritance. We understand these words in a physical way. Right? If you knew your parents were leaving you $100 million, you'd be excited about that. Maybe. Probably quit work, wait for my inheritance, right? He's saying, we understand that physical, but what does that mean? But he's saying you have an inheritance. You are his inheritance. What did Paul say about the believers? You're my hope, my joy, my crown, my reward. You are his inheritance. So the greatness, the mightiness, the power, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So you're rich. You might not know it. You have everything in Jesus. And so Paul's praying, I want you to understand what you have. That every day that you wake up, you realize you're saved and you're going to heaven. You're saved and you have an inheritance. You're saved and you have a purpose in him. You have his riches. And then notice the third verse 19. And what is the exceeding? When you think about exceeding, you think about This is big. Okay? The exceeding greatness of what? His what? Power. Toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So, first of all, whose power is it? It's his. Is his power limited? Does his battery run out? Does his phone charger break? I'm trying to get things you could understand. Think about this. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So, is there a spiritual battle you're facing that God doesn't have the power for you to overcome? Is there a person you're dealing with that God can't give you the power to overcome or to work through? Is there a hardship you're facing that is too difficult for God? Is there a mental state that you're in that God can't help get you out of? He says the exceeding greatness of his power. Now, in the Old Testament, when they talked about the power of God, they talked about creation. They talked about the crossing of the Red Sea, that these were events that people saw the power of God. But notice verse 20, which he worked in Christ. Okay, this is the working of the power, which he worked in Christ when he what? Raised him from the dead. And, that's going to be point four, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. So, is there a power on this earth that can raise the dead? We have the atomic bomb. We have atomic reactors. We have electricity. We have cars that can go 200 miles an hour plus. We have power plants. We have planes, jets. We have very powerful machinery on this earth that we use, that we see. We have powerful doctors, medics, that can do tremendous, spectacular things today. And healing and remedies. But is there anybody? Even the advertisements on Facebook that can heal everything that you have. Have you ever heard one? We have a special potion, $9.99, that will raise the dead. Wait, don't miss it. We're going to give you another 50% discount. Wait, 30% more discount. No, it's not there. Nobody has it. The richest person on earth cannot buy it. Can't buy it. Can't buy life. Think about that. Every person, how rich, how much money they have, how much wealth, eventually they cannot purchase any more life. But God can. God raised Jesus from the dead. So he's saying that power, guys, is for you. And in 1 Corinthians 5, 15, 58, when he talked about that, he said, therefore, he talked about the resurrection, death, where is thy sting, or grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto God that give us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You have the power to get up again. You have the power to go on. You have the power to raise those kids. You have the power to deal with difficult family members. You have the power to get a new job. You have the power to finish school. You have the power in Jesus, because if he raised the dead, how difficult is your problem? You know, we think of power, we think of miracles, but I think the miracles, the real miracles, is taking care of our personal problems. All the stuff in our lives, all the hurts, all the problems, all the upbringing, God can bring that. So this power, he said, he worked when Jesus rose from the dead. Then we get to his authority, and it's kind of related to his power. But I want you to think about this. He worked, talking about his power in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated. Notice he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Here again, we're going to the heavenly places, right? We have all blessings in heavenly places. We talk about the spiritual man, that we're created a spiritual man, that we're already seated with Jesus in the heavens. And we don't just live in, we are in this physical world we see, but we're in a spiritual world that we do not see. And he put Jesus above. There's no rival. There's no second place. Notice verse 21. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So when I talk about authority, guys, we live in the age of cable news, Facebook news, and sometimes in the church, we act like there's another authority higher than God. Like God's purpose is going to happen despite who gets elected, what laws they pass. And listen, this is for me, because we always focus on the negative, right? It's bad, it's getting worse, we're gonna die, world's coming to an end. Yeah, the world's been on its way toward an end since the garden. And by God's grace, we've had great periods, and through God's grace, we've had terrible periods. But here's the thing. If we're with Jesus, we're above all of that. There's no authority. There's no law that's going to be passed that's going to keep us from the love of Christ. Notice verse 20. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the what? Say it again. To the? So who has a higher authority in this world? The United Nations or the church? The communist Chinese government or the church? A liberal Congress or the church? A media that censors truth or the church? Guys, don't sound very convincing. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We're the fullness of his body, the church. So let me say this, because I challenge you this week to meditate on these verses. I challenge you this week to pray God to give you understanding, to perceive that we got to have a different outlook, and instead of focusing, which we tend to do, on the negative, focus on what we have in Christ. We have a hope, we have riches, we have power, we have authority. He gave that authority to the church, right? All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and teach all nations. Right? God's mission for you hasn't changed. We have that mission. There is a story that after World War II, one of the greatest disasters in a school tragedy, there was a fire in a small town in Texas, and over 200 children died in this fire. And when they rebuilt the school, they said, this will never happen again. We're never going to let this happen again. We're going to install a state-of-the-art sprinkler system. And then when they built the school, they installed the sprinkler system. And the town began to grow. And as the town began to grow, they had to expand the school. And as they were adding on to the school, they discovered something that was horrifying. They discovered that this sprinkler system had been installed, but it never had been hooked up to the water. Never had been hooked up to the water. You know, this is an illustration of Christians that don't get hooked up to the power of God. Paul's saying in Ephesians, now let's go back to who he's talking about, because we think life is so hard for us as Christians today. All the Christians in Ephesus were cultists. Slaves, cultists. There was no church. Nobody was accepted. In fact, they were a threat. If you remember, we read in Acts how there was a great uproar in the city, and all these people were going to start losing their money because they're not buying the idols at the temple. And here's Paul writing to these churches in Ephesus and throughout the region. As this letter gets passed, he comes to them. And you know what I see in this letter as we read this, as we conclude this first chapter? As they're facing these difficult situations, we don't see Paul saying, oh man, you guys got it rough. Oh, poor you guys. Oh, you just lost your job because you're part of the cult. Oh, your neighbors are making fun of you and don't talk to you anymore. Oh, your father just cut you out of the inheritance because you've defiled the great goddess Diana. Oh, you've had to leave the city and seek refuge in another town. I don't see any of this in here. Facebook has censored you. Do you see any of that? No, Paul, get right out of the gate. You got spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You're accepted. You're in the beloved. You're adopted. You're redeemed. You're forgiven. You have the power of God. You have a hope. You have riches. You have all authority. Paul just goes right in. Now, next week, he's going to tell us a little bit of the reality of the spiritual war before we get to chapter 6. But Paul doesn't harp on the whining. Paul goes in, man, we got it good. We got it really good. We're not in that idol worship, and we don't have those empty idols, and we don't go to the temple anymore and give our money and worship Diana and go home and we're empty and we still have all the same problems. He's saying, no, we have the power of God. We know how to have joy. We know how to resolve problems because we have God's wisdom. Lord, help us understand it. Let's stand. Lord, we pray this morning. Again, Lord, as we Think of these truths, Lord. Lord, forgive us our hard hearts. Forgive us for thinking we understand them when we don't. Lord, you haven't given us an easy 1, 2, 3, do this, this, and this. You've told us to know you better. You've told us to understand your power, to perceive the riches, the hope that we have. Lord, oftentimes our eyes are so focused on the temporal that we don't see it, Lord. We don't see it totally as we could, as we should, as we need to. We get so focused on what we can't change. Lord, help us. Lord, change us. Work in our hearts. Lord, we're crying out for wisdom. We're crying out for answers. We're crying out for understanding. Lord, there's many people here this morning that have questions, that are facing difficulties. Lord, I can't give them the answer. But we know you can. Open our eyes.